Whenever you are hearing the sound of my voice, will you lift your two hands to Jesus right now and just bless his name? Lord, we thank you for the power of your presence. We thank you for your grace that is available all the time. Every time we gather, your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, that's where you are. You will be there right in the midst of them. And we thank you because hundreds and thousands are gathered virtually all over the world joined to this service right now. We ask, everlasting Father, that you pour out your grace wherever one or two are gathered in your name. Let your grace be present. So we ask that you charge your word with power and let it minister grace to every hearer. Let no one be the same again and let your name be glorified. We thank you because this will not be enticing words of men's wisdom, but shall be a demonstration of your power, your grace, your favor, and your mercy over the life of every partaker. Holy Spirit will give you permission to move over every life, transform lives, change us, instruct us, rebuke us, reprove us, and help us to gain a new understanding in your word today. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone says a believing amen. Praise God, praise God. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this service. I want to ask that you take distractions away from you and get ready to be blessed by the word of God today. By the way, how was your week? I trust that you had a fantastic week, and I pray in the name of Jesus that as you step into a new week from this Sunday, grace will come upon your life for divine accomplishment. God will order your steps to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Again, I want you to, depending on the platform where you're joining from, whether you're watching this on TV, you're joining us on any of our social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I want you to share and let somebody know that the service is now live and they can join us. And if you're on YouTube, please go ahead and just like it. The more you do that, the more YouTube will know that it's something that you should recommend to other people. And that's one of the ways by which you also preach the gospel, because you're making people aware that the word of God is being preached. Praise God. Praise God. All right, so we'll continue with the series of teachings that we started a while ago, and this is going to be the final message in the series of teaching, grow. And I just want to give us some kind of conclusion of the message, a summary of where we are. There are three cardinal scriptures that we have worked with in the last 5 to 6 weeks. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, which says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And also, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul writing there said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, when I became mature, he said, I put away childish things. When I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. And thirdly, Galatians 4 and verse 1, you remember we said, we quoted that scripture, which describes the inability of the heir to an estate to be able to take over the estate until an age of maturity is attained. So scripture says, now I say to you, Galatians 4 and verse 1, that the heir, as long as is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. He said, but under guardians and stewards until a time appointed by the father. There's always a time appointed by the father. In some culture, it's 18. Some other culture, is 30. All that they're looking for is a level of maturity that they will be able to vouch for and say, this person merits this kind of inheritance or can take over this estate that has been bequeathed by the father. That's what we're talking about this season. We've been talking about this season, that God is expecting you and I to grow and mature to a level where things can be committed into our hands. There are things that heaven has been looking for people all around the world. Who can we commit this responsibility to? Who can we give this vision to? Who can we, just bequeath this very important role too? And heaven is always looking. You know, the question, like what we have in, I think, Isaiah chapter 8, said, who shall go for us? Who shall we send? God is always looking for who will go and who will be sent. And you know, it takes maturity to be able to stand and say, here I am, send me. And it's that maturity that God is always looking for. And you know, we've taught so many messages this season that I wanted to go back to watch all over again, get on the YouTube channel, whether my channel or the Elevation NG channel, just watch all over again and get to understand what God has in mind for you this season. As darkness will cover the heart, gross darkness the people, the Bible says God will give us light. And that light, the illumination of our human spirit and our soul, is what engenders maturity. It brings understanding to us about the critical issues of life and how God wants us to navigate those terrain. And I'm wrapping up this teaching on grow with what I've titled True Wealth. True Wealth. One thing I've noticed, really, is that when we talk about grow, before people think about maturity or growing emotionally or growing spiritually, the first place they want to grow is their pockets or their bank account. That's why when you call a prayer meeting and you're praying about breakthrough and about, you know, all those kind of things, material blessings, the amen is louder and many more people want to participate. But the moment you bring things like, let's pray for souls, let's pray for nations, let's pray for industries, you know, let's pray for you know, let's intercede for people. You just see the decibel will start to go down. And if it's an online event like this, you see many people logging off. They've just started to log off. But if you are prophesying and you're speaking, you know, prophetic utterances concerning money, concerning material possession, concerning position and all that, you see there will be many more people who are gingered, like we say, to participate and to run with it. And it shows the level of our maturity in the things of the spirit and in the things of the kingdom, because there are things that are important to God and must be important to you and I. And when it comes to growing financially or growing in terms of wealth and riches, you must understand the concept of true wealth. The concept of true wealth will position you to be able to walk with God and such that riches will not take you away from his hands. From next week, as we move into a new season, we'll start a new series on stewardship. And we're going to be able to deal with that very, very well. We're going to deal with all kinds of stewardship, or kingdom stewardship, biblical stewardship. But before we get into that, let's look into true wealth. True wealth. 3 John and verse 2, he said, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul, just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Last 2 weeks, we've spoken to the subject of health and the fact that God wants you and I to be healthy. Last Sunday, we're discussing alive and well. If you missed that, please go ahead and check it out on either on our resource store or on YouTube, and just keep yourself updated on that. But like I said today, true wealth. What is the definition of true wealth? And what is the God's concept of true wealth, or biblical concept of true wealth? Because you need to understand that before you yearn for growth in terms of riches and health. Because when it comes to you, if you don't understand what true wealth is, you may just realize that you're chasing shadows. Look at this, Revelation chapter 5, when you read from verse 11 to 14. Look at what it said. It said, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around me, around the throne, and the living creature, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times, 10,000 times thousands. Or let me put it this way. He said the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Wow. And thousands of thousands. Verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So this is what the 24 elders and the angels were saying about God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And what part of the purpose of him being slain is to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So part of what the redemption of Christ or the redemptive act of Christ when he hung on the cross of Calvary, beyond forgiveness of sin and bringing us into the family of God so we can live with him in eternity, is also for us to be able to enjoy his blessings here on earth. And part of the blessing is a blessing of provision, of material provision, of wealth and riches. But these things, we need some level of understanding of them as we grow in them, such that they will not take us away from the will of God for our lives. So it's time for you and I to gain the right sense of what true wealth is. So true wealth is more than money. It extends beyond our lives on earth. It has a divine perspective to it. We need to see the attributes and the character of true wealth. And God is interested and invested in our capacity to acquire wealth and to do the right things with it here on earth. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 6, when you read from verse 19 down to 21. He said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." And Jesus was saying here, don't overfocus on this place. Understand the concept of true wealth for this place, because there's a connection between how I manage myself, the perspective that I have about wealth, and how eternity is going to pan out for me. And that's why all of us must have this at the back of our mind and to understand what true wealth is. Before I read the next verse of the scripture, I want to speak to, again, true wealth. I'm discussing 4 P's of true wealth. And I think this will bring you into a mindset that can guide you for the rest of your life when you think about wealth and riches. These 4 P's will guide you. You know, it's possible for one to be disillusioned, to be looking at your bank account swelling, or your monthly take home, or the size of your business going up, and then you feel larger than life, and seriously feel big, even bigger sometimes than God. That's how some people feel. That's what, you know, even fuel some people feeling like they don't need God in their life to acquire anything, because I didn't pray and I acquired this and that and that, and you know, the work of my hand has brought this to me. When you hear people say that, when you hear people say, "Look, nobody helped me. Yeah, I just went out there bootstrapped, and this is what I have. Nobody gave me a chance in life, but somehow I got here." And in their mind, there's no concept of God or concept of divine assistance. They just believe that things happened before because they were good, or because they were brilliant, or they had this unusual skill that nobody ever had before. And when you hear things like that, you know nothing can be further from the truth, that this is disillusionment. And sometimes people, you may not even be achieving all your financial goals, and also you start to rate yourself based on that. You know, there's an emotion that all of us need to deal with. When we go to church, for instance, for physical gathering, or you go to a mall, whatever people gather, maybe a crowd. When you go to the cinema or you go to a mall, you know, a lot of the time when you park in the parking lot, you are always, always tempted to watch what other people drove down to the place. When you finish the movie and you're going home, or you're coming out of the shopping mall and you're going home, you see somebody, you know, just jump into a Ferrari or jump into, you know, any luxury car. And there's a way that you can begin to feel inferior to them just based on the material things that they have or that they are displaying. Also, these days of social media is not helping matters, because you see some people, it looks like everything is all together around them. Even if they're posing with a car that doesn't belong to them, it's already affecting you emotionally, because you feel that they're doing better than you. Somebody's wearing, you know, a piece of clothing or garment that they have not paid for, or that they are going to return back to the store. They just want to use it for this photo shoot or for this party and then they were returning back to the store. They knew they couldn't afford it. Maybe they swiped their credit card, and they knew they have to return it within a week or two. And then you saw that, and you just felt like, look, my life is so backward. I'm not making progress. But you don't even know that what the other person has is not real. Some other times, you know, what they have may even be real. Maybe they hand it, but you feel like your life is not making progress because you rate other people's life based on the material possession that they have and what you don't have. One of the things we want to deal with today is to restore that esteem back to you, that you may not be where you are going, but maybe you are not where you used to be. And God has a way of helping us to get to where we need to get to. But we need to understand the purpose of everything. The purpose of everything. Revelation 3, verse 17. He said, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I've need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This was, you know, John the Revelator saying, look, this is what God is saying. Some people say, I'm rich, you know, I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. You know, and he said, you do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. And truly, this person may have wealth, material wealth, worldly wealth, but what how God is seeing it is completely different. Let me run quickly as we go into what true wealth, I mean the character of true wealth and how we should see true wealth. One is that true wealth as a source or a provider. So my first P is provider. True wealth has a provider. True wealth is not something that just falls from nowhere. When you see true wealth, you understand the first thing that undergirds it is that there's a provider. There's a provider. God is the provider and source of true wealth, not a man. Not the devil. The devil, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadows of turning. That's what the scripture says. The devil doesn't give good stuff. Yeah. The devil doesn't, let me rephrase. When the devil gives you something good or something, a material possession, it's because he's looking for a way of taking what is more important to you. So the devil will give people position and material things, but he will steal their joy. It will steal their peace. It will steal their righteousness away from them. It will make sure that at the end of the day, they're more wretched than how he met them. But in the meantime, it looks like things are working for this, for anyone who is working under the influence of the devil. So, true wealth as a provider, and that provider is God. Is God. Yeah. True wealth is not from wickedness or evil schemes. If you really want true wealth, it's something that only God can give. It's not something that comes from the devil. It's not something, you know, that comes from a man. It's not something that comes from wickedness or from evil schemes. True wealth, the inspiration and wisdom and capacity to get true wealth always comes from God. It comes from God, and that's one thing that all of us must have at the back of our mind as we talk about the character of true wealth. True wealth as a provider, and his name is God. God is the ultimate provider. Is Jehovah El Shaddai, is the big breasted one, the nourisher of the universe, the one who can meet all of us at the point of our need. David got the revelation of that provider in Psalm 23, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. When you have a connection and a covenant with the true provider, it makes sure that you are fixed all of the time. You just need to align yourself with him and follow through and have the understanding of what true wealth is, and you will not lack. Say amen, somebody. So Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, he said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. It is he who gives you power to get wealth. And he said the purpose of it is that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your father as it is this day. So God said, the Bible says, God is the one who gives power to get wealth, is the ultimate source of true wealth. So true wealth as a provider. Yeah, true wealth as a provider. Secondly, true wealth as a place or position. What I mean is that true wealth is not wealth is not everything. It has a level of priority that is accorded to it in the scheme of things. When you're talking about true wealth is not all in all. You know, some people live their life and except you have attained certain level of maturity in terms of handling riches and wealth, the understanding that you have is that all I need is material possession. And when I've gotten it, my life is made. No, true wealth has its place. You know, we've talked about as a provider, it also has its place. Yeah, money and riches are not the definition of success, or they're not the source of my identity. It's just something that I need to be able to fulfill destiny. So it has its priority level in the order of things. It's not everything. True wealth has a priority level. When you have a concept of true wealth, you understand that there's a priority level, there's a place that has been given to it in the scheme of things as a resource. Not the source, not my life, but as a resource. That's why scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? True wealth has a position, has a priority level. It's just it has its own place in the order of things. It's not everything. It's a part of the lot. It's not everything. When you live your life as if wealth is everything, you don't have the understanding of what true wealth is. Because when you live your life as if wealth is everything, that wealth will take peace away from you. That wealth will take joy away from you. That wealth will ruin your life, and that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. As we speak to the subject of growth and maturity, we need a right concept about the important things of life. And that's why we're discussing this today, that the true wealth has a character. One is that there's a provider. And secondly, it has a place or priority level. It's not everything in your life. Yeah, it's not everything in your life. Your identity is not defined by what you have. Yeah, it's not defined by what you have. It's defined by who you are in Christ. So you may not have everything, but it doesn't change who you are in Christ. Yeah, because it's that image of God in you that attracts what you need for the fulfillment of your destiny. When you lose it to material things and you feel if you're not bling bling, if you don't have this and that, if you don't have this to show, then you are nothing, you are useless. Such people get addicted to acquisition, to material acquisition. And before you know it, all they're using their life to chase around is material acquisition just to show off that they have something, because their identity is only defined by those things. So when those things are out, they become suicidal. Yeah, they become suicidal. Have you seen somebody who lost serious money before and wants to commit suicide? It's not because they have become maybe indebted. Sometimes they are not even indebted, because the money they lost, it was their money. It's not money they borrowed in the bank. If somebody borrowed money in the bank and then the money is lost and you feel suicidal, maybe that could be understandable, because you feel that's there's a burden that is too big for you to carry. But some other people, they will lose their own money, but because of the effect it has on their esteem and sense of identity, they start to feel suicidal. The devil wants to ruin and take their life just because they don't have the understanding of what true wealth is. True wealth has a priority place, but it's not everything. That's a place in the scheme of things, but it's not everything. It's not everything. Yeah, it's not everything. Do not sell your soul or your inheritance in Christ for ordinary wealth. That's what we're saying today. It's not everything. It's not everything. When you look at Luke chapter 12, you see the example of the rich fool, the guy that Jesus called the rich fool. Sequel to that was this situation where a guy came to meet Jesus and said, tell my brother to share part of the inheritance with me. He's the firstborn, blah, blah, blah. And he's supposed to take everything. Just tell him to share some of the inheritance with me. And Jesus replied the guy, and he said to him, verse 15 of Luke 12, verse 15, he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness. He said, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Can you give me New Living Translation? I love the New Living Translation of this verse. There's a phrase that I'm looking for there, and it's in the New Living Translation. The Bible says, then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. I love that. Guard against every kind of greed. He said, life is not measured by how much you own. That's what I was looking for. Life is not measured by how much you own. Can somebody say after me today, say, my life is not measured by how much I own. Can you say it one more time? Say, my life is not measured by how much I own. My life is measured by the depth of my connection with Jehovah. Glory be to Jesus. That's how my life is measured. It's measured by the depth of my connection with my Father in heaven. It's measured by, you know, Jesus said, except a man be born again, born of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. My life is measured mainly by fulfilling the mandate of the one who sent me here. Not just about what I've acquired here. And I'm going to talk about another P of the character of true wealth, and you're going to understand it a little bit more. But Jesus said to this guy, he said, your life does not consist in abundance of the things that you possess. Your life is not measured by the things, you know, that you have. And I love it. Verse 21, then the Bible says, Jesus went ahead and told the story of this rich fool whose land brought forth plentifully, that the scripture says. A lot of, you know, harvest for him. And then he started arrogating everything to himself. He said, what am I going to do now? I'm going to build myself, you know, new barns, new storehouses. I'm going to pull down the old one. I'm going to do this. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, be merry and, you know, just party because you're a big guy right now. Your crypto account is swelling up and your stock market account, as you know, has just ballooned and, you know, everything is working, you know, and all that. And that, I mean, that's like a current day young dude, you know, you do all kinds of electronic investment and everything seems to just be working out. And then you just feel big, or you just landed a contract, landed a new job, and you start to feel big. And, you know, you see your colleagues who are earning maybe less than 10% of what you earn, and you feel like on top of the world. You know, such people, it's even difficult to talk to them because most people don't even like to talk to them because they won't listen, or they make you feel stupid because they make you feel like if you have this level of wisdom, you should be richer than me. But one thing that people don't understand is that life is not always measured by how much you have. Because there are many other areas that has to be in place that may not be in place. You know, areas that have to be in place that may not be in place just because you overfocus on what you have. Glory be to Jesus. I pray for someone today that God will help you to course correct this season. It will shift, you know, your mind in the right direction in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. So, Paul also writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love what he said there about prioritizing and the place of true wealth. It says command. One scripture says teach. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6 when you read from verse 17. Command or teach those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches. Yeah. It said, New Living Translation says, teach those who are rich in this age not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. They don't trust in your money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. You know, when you start to have a bit of money, a bit of wealth, there's a possibility that your trust is only based on what you have. Yeah. So where do you derive your sense of security from? That's what Paul was writing to Timothy here. That Timothy, a young pastor, protege of the Apostle Paul, he said, in your church, let people know. So let me say, I am Timothy right now, protege of the Apostle Paul. I'm letting you know, according to the demands or the injunction of the great apostle, he said, teach those who are rich in this world, not to be proud, look at that, not to trust in their money, which is unreliable, because money can develop wings and fly away, especially when you put your trust in it, and God wants to show you that your trust should not be in your money, it should be in Him. Yeah, He said that they should trust in God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Glory be to Jesus. Let me move quickly to the next P, for true wealth is process. Process. The fact that true wealth is always based on following through a process. It's always based on following through a process. Whenever you see wealth that just comes all of a sudden, without any process, without any engagement, without any consideration, it's not true wealth. That's not true wealth. True wealth follows a process. So we engage in spirit-led principles for wealth creation. Yeah. Like the scripture says, whoever does not walk should not eat. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, when you read verse number 10, it says, For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not walk, neither shall he eat. He said, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not walking at all, but are busy bodies. And now those who are such, we command and exhort, he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. So true wealth has a process. You have to engage biblical principles of wealth creation. You have to go through a process. You have to grow in your understanding of money. You have to become financially intelligent. You have to understand how to build wealth with the power of God, with the wisdom of God, the grace and favor that only God can give. That's what guarantees that money will pass to the next generation. Is somebody still here with me today? True wealth has a process. In Genesis 26, when you read verse 13, God was talking about Isaac. Isaac, after perseverance, after he persevered against, envy, enmity, animosity, and all kinds of things, from the Philistines at Gerar there, where he was, he would dig a well, they would stop the well, and then he would dig another one, and until a point in Genesis 26 there, where the Bible says it got to Rehoboth. And he dug a well, and it was running water coming from it. And he says, now the Lord has made room for us. It was not the day he started. The Bible did not capture how many months or how many years, but it was a process. Isaac sowed in the land, the Bible says in Genesis 26 there. And the Bible says in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. That's verse 12 of Genesis 26. In the same year, he reaped 100-fold. But it's sowing and reaping. He didn't wake up the following morning, like most young people want us to perceive wealth creation today, that you just blink. You just blink and money is already everywhere. That's not true wealth. True wealth has a process. Even Isaac, with the heavy covenant that was upon Abraham there, still had to go through processes of sowing and reaping, of overcoming envy and animosity and opposition and adversary, and developing strength, internal strength, spiritual strength, developing power with God, standing on the word of God. Those are processes that we need to go through. You need to understand how to break through challenges, leveraging the power of the spoken word, leveraging the power of the spirit. That's how we build wealth, because opposition will come. The devil doesn't want wealth to land in the hand of believers. Isaac had to withstand opposition. True wealth will have to come through a process. That's why by the time you get to Genesis 26 and verse 13, the Bible says, the man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. King James says, the man began to prosper, continued prospering, until it became very prosperous. New King James Version. Yeah. Became very prosperous. It means that there's always a process that we need to go through. Always a process. Always a process. Always a process. True wealth is premised on processes that we must follow. Yeah. Processes that we must follow. So there will always be a fish that God has asked you to open its mouth, just like it did with Peter. Go to the river. That's what you know to do. God wants to leverage your skill. Yeah, he wants you to leverage your skill. He wants to bless the work of your hand. Just doesn't want to throw money at people. True wealth comes through a process. Yeah, true wealth comes through a process. What word has God, given you on your business that you are speaking over it, or that you are leveraging, or that reminds you that God is with you in that place? Yeah, If you are growing in as a believer, growing in the word, according to Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There will always be one word that God will give you. Like the Bible says, it gives me a song in the midnight hour. The midnight is a time where you're going through terror. And God will give you a song. He will give you a scripture. He will put something in your heart, a revelation knowledge. That's how we grow. And that's why adversities come sometimes. Because God wants you to develop root downwards. So that you can grow upwards. And no wind, you know, or anything like that will be able to uproot you again. That's the process that we all need to go through. If we really want to build real wealth. That was what happened to Isaac in Genesis 26. Because you can't be going through a position and not run back to God. That's how God will build you up to becoming the kind of person that he wants you to be. Somebody say amen. Because God is building you up this season in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Let me get on the last P, which is purpose. Which is purpose. 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 True wealth has a purpose. Yeah. True wealth has a purpose. You know, there are many people with purposeless money today. They have access to riches and money, and they don't even know what to do with it. You know, so they fly all around the world, build structures that are useless, forget that they can only sleep in one room at the same time, and also even if you have a big king bed, you can't sleep, you know, across the bed. You have your corner, or you can stay in the middle, whatever suits you. Can I close this by asking you a question? Are you rich towards God? As we start a new series from next week of Biblical Stewardship, I need you to prepare your heart. This is a season where God wants to turn your heart around and give you the right perspective to wealth, to true wealth, so that your life will not just be about material acquisition, your life will serve a purpose. So if I've forgotten everything that I said, please don't forget this. The character of true wealth. One, true wealth as a provider. Yes. It has a place or priority order. It is not everything, and it's not supposed to consume your life. True wealth also has a process. It's not just something that just happens. And true wealth has a purpose. It has a purpose. It has a purpose. If you have any good thing that God has given you in life and you don't know any purpose for it, please go and ask God. Go and ask God. There's a reason why God puts you in that job where you are right now. There's a reason why you are in that business and the business is doing well. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason. It's for you to fulfill kingdom mandate, especially if you're a child of God. Everything in this world operates on the principle of an agenda. And the kingdom of God has an agenda. Are you a participator or are you an onlooker? Do you go around God just to beg for him to give you and meet your need and protect you? To what end? Are you going to live your life for God? Is the preaching of the gospel going to be of benefit anything from the wealth that God has given you? Will your wealth raise people from the dunghill to become who God has created them to be? Or is it just going to be about you? Is it going to be about Louis Vuitton and Gucci and, you know, and all those things? Or is it going to be about, Lord, you have blessed me. Make me a blessing. This is the character of true wealth. And I believe that this word has been a blessing to you today. Will you join me and lift your two hands to Jesus and consecrate yourself afresh to him? I say, Lord, take my heart and let it be consecrated to you. I want to serve you with my life. Help me to understand this concept of true wealth, that I may live by it, that I will not live my life just to pursue money or material possession, but to pursue your will, your purpose, and your call over my life. Make that your prayer today. Make that your prayer today. Make that your prayer today. Let God hear your voice, that Lord, I want to fulfill my calling. I want to serve you and serve humanity. I want my life to count for something beyond money. I want to outgrow my lust for material possession. I want to outgrow my lust for material possession. As we wrap up this Grow series today, somebody needs to outgrow that lust for material possession. That, you know, when you find yourself, you don't even ask God any question. Anything that comes to your hand is all about you. It's all about your comfort and being, you know, and just enjoying life. There's something much more. Purpose is more important than comfort. Purpose is more important than luxury. Purpose is the reason why you exist. Glory be to Jesus. Just speak to him today. Speak to him today. I believe God is speaking to somebody's heart right now. And will you also ask him, Lord, this season I release myself to you. I want to grow. I want to grow in my spiritual life. I want to grow emotionally. I want to grow in my knowledge of how things work from the perspective of your word. I want to grow in my biblical worldview of the things that are happening around me. I don't want to be left in darkness, because gross darkness is covering the heart. And gross, the Bible says darkness will cover the heart and gross darkness the people. But it said the Lord our God will give us light. Will you ask him for light this season? Say, Father, I want to enjoy your light in every area of my life. I want to be able to walk in light. I want to understand what you are doing in our world today. Thank you, everlasting Father. And lastly today, will you ask him, Lord, in the name of Jesus, having this understanding right now, I position as a candidate for wealth. I position as a candidate for wealth. I position as a candidate for wealth. As a candidate for wealth. Now that I know the character of true wealth, Lord, push it in my direction. Will you lift your two hands? I say I present myself as a candidate for true wealth. I will use it for your purpose. I will wait and follow the process. I will always recognize you as the source, and the giver of all good things. I will recognize you, Father. Thank you, everlasting Father. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the influence of my voice today. I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus that whatever limits their capacity to walk in abundance, is broken today in the name of Jesus. I decree that my God increases favor and grace over you and gives you capacity to walk in abundance. Grace not to be swept away by small money, but to be positioned to partner with God to fulfill his agenda on earth in the name of Jesus. My God will find you faithful to take care of the poor. He will find you faithful to sponsor the preaching of the gospel. He will find you faithful to bless a city, to bless a nation, to bless a household in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you and we give you glory and we give you praise in the precious name of Jesus. Still in the attitude of prayer, I love to pray for anyone who may be saying, Pastor, I'm far away from God. I want to give my life to Christ. Maybe you just stumbled on the broadcast. You just join us online church, wherever you're joining from. You just join us, you know, you're not close to God, or you have not given your life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. Or maybe you gave your life to Jesus before, but you backslid into sin and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. I also want to pray for you. If you are the kind of person I'm talking about, I just want you to, if you can, just bow down your heads right there and let me say a prayer for you. And I want you to just say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I want to come closer. Say, Father, forgive me my sin and cleanse me from every unrighteousness. I accept you today as my Lord and my personal Savior. I give you the right of way to lead me, to rule and reign in my life. Wash my sins away completely. Thank you, everlasting Father. Now I ask that you fill my heart with your spirit and give me a new beginning with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you just said that prayer with me, God has started a good work in you and he will perfect it. I want you to go to the chat room, go to the comment section. If you're watching this on TV, I want you to go. You see the WhatsApp number and the email address. I want you to send us an email. Just let us know that you just give your life to Christ. If you're watching on any of our platforms, online church, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, please go to the chat or comment segment and let us know. I just rededicated my life to Jesus. Please let us know that you just rededicated your life to Jesus. Let us know. Let us know that there's some materials we want to send to you. We want to be the helper of your joy. We want to strengthen you. We want to be a part of what God has started in your life. If you don't mind, please let us know and we will send you a link with which you can get in touch with us. We'll send you some materials and pull you into an encouraging environment online that will help you to grow and be strong in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're blessed today, I want you to put your hands together and celebrate Jesus, celebrate him for his grace and the knowledge of his word that is transformational. And God, who started a good work in you, he will perfect it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Also, quickly, I want us to to package our offerings as we give to God today. Every time we gather together, we always love to give to God. Our giving is not a donation, it's our worship. It's our worship. So I want you to package whatever you have to give. We have electronic means by which you can give. It's been displayed on the screen. If you're local to Nigeria, you can use any of the three banks that's been displayed, the short code platform, wire transfer. You can use any of that. If you are on international to us, you can use the WebPay platform on our website, elevationng.org/giving, and it accepts all the international cards, and it's a secured platform with which you can worship God with your substance today. And you can also do a wire transfer to the GT Bank details that you have on the right-hand side of the screen. It's also secured to do a wire transfer through that means. And as you give today, the one who is a great provider will meet you at every point of need in the precious name of Jesus. Can I say a prayer to over everyone worshiping God with their substance today? Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says, if the heart remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. This is our seed time. As we give to you today, we receive the blessing of obedience, the blessing of giving, the blessing that comes with giving over every giver today. Lord, out of what you have given us, we are worshiping you with our substance. Money is not ruling in our life. We are ruling over money and sending it on errand. So we're sending this money on errand as we worship you with it for the preaching of the gospel and for the expansion of your kingdom here and now. Lord, we ask that you accept our worship today. Bless every giver in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all who believe, say, believing, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for always giving and supporting ministry at the Elevation Church. We thank everyone who is dedicated to tithing and giving from time to time. We believe that God himself is revealing himself to you from time to time and is meeting you at the point of need, and you will always have a testimony of favor, of grace, of the mercy of God, of divine protection, and all-around increase in Jesus' precious name. All right, before we bring this service to a close, I'd love to welcome everyone worshiping with us for the first time. It's your first time ever worshiping with us at the Elevation Church. Can you go to the chat room or send us an email, WhatsApp, and let us know it's your first time. We'd love to welcome you. We'd love to celebrate you. We believe that there's no accident in the things of God. God brought you into this broadcast today to participate with us, and we believe that God has blessed you. And so we want you to let us know so that we can, just be able to become your friend and send you some more information about our church and invite you to subsequent events of the Elevation Church. And if this church looks like the kind of church that can take you to where you're going in life, we're available online, even if you're not in the same city with us. But if you are in the city of Lagos, you can join in any of our in-person gathering all across our five expressions in the city of Lagos. If you go to our website, elevationng.org, you'll be able to get information about all of our physical gatherings. We also have a church that is building up very fast in the city of London in the United Kingdom, currently an online church. And also, because of the restriction in Canada, a church in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada is also online. You can check them out. Check the website. Just Google them. You'll find more information about all of our expressions around the world. Our online church is thriving on a daily basis, getting stronger. We believe that no believer should do life alone. All of us should walk with God. So onlinechurch.elevationng.org is the place to be. Especially if you're watching outside of the city of Lagos, please join us on our online church platform. It's a robust platform where you will be pastored. You'll be able to join other people to worship God and to serve God virtually from wherever you may be. So thank you for joining us today. And we believe that the grace of God that is upon this house will rest upon you in Jesus' name. Just one or two announcements and we'll bring this to a close. Our global soul winning exercise continues online this week. So to enable you reach the unsaved and the unchurched within the cyberspace, wherever you are, I want you to please get on our website and download e-tracts. Download the e-tracts, and you can use it to reach other people around you. This will run from the 25th to the 1st of May. And on the 1st of May, we have a special seminar that we want you to attend, the upcoming mission seminar that is themed Developing a Passion for Soul Winning. That will happen on Saturday, the 1st of May, 9 a.m. West African time. You can get more details on our website. And lastly, I want you to understand that we want you to be a part of our Connect groups. Our Connect groups are virtual and physical, whatever suits you. and they walk along, sometimes your passion in life, or what you are doing, your vocation, your gender, or your stage in life. Maybe you're single and you want to hang out with more other single people. Please, you can do that on our Connect Group platform, connectgroup.elevationenergy.org. You will find a family that is just right for you right there. Please check it out, connectgroup.elevationenergy.org, and be a part of our Connect Group system. God bless you, and God keep you and make his face to shine upon you. This week will be the best week of your life so far this year, because the life lines will fall onto you in pleasant places, and you will engage and experience the favor of God like never before, in Jesus' precious name. Please stay tuned for further announcement as we bring the service to a close. God bless you, and have a great week.
God, you have made me a steward of so many things. You have given me a home, a family, abilities, resources, and all those people connected to me. By your Spirit, I've been able to grow, and I've touched lives around me, far and near. Your mission of making greatness common is spreading far and wide. For this, I am grateful. But I have something to ask of you.
Go ahead.
I need your help, Father. I need your help to raise more stewards for your honor. And grace to carry out the mission to which you have called us. There are thousands, in fact, millions of people with knowledge, skills, abilities, and talents of all kinds. We need to raise them now to understand the honor code, which is stewardship. Time is running out, and there are souls to be saved.
I shall send you men, women, children. Raise them to be good stewards, to stay accountable to the mission. Your request has been granted.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
We trust that you had a wonderful time in service, and we believe that you've been immensely blessed. Please subscribe to and follow us on our various social media channels to be among the first to get updates about our upcoming events. Parents and guardians are encouraged to give their kids that might be feeling unwell the best of care at home, as they will not be allowed into the junior church facility.
Hi, my name is Ifeki Shah. So earlier this year, I had this New Year resolution to preach the gospel of Christ, talk to people about Jesus, and I prayed about it and I just forgot about it. So fast forward to 3 weeks later, I had to go somewhere and I booked a ride. I got into the vehicle and the ride was moving, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, "You said you're going to preach the gospel. This is the opportunity." At first I was like, "No, I'm not doing this," but along the line I accepted. So I started the conversation with the driver and I asked him if I could talk to him about Christ. He was like, "Sure." At first, I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. And I started talking to him. I talked to him about my experiences, about how I came to Christ and every other thing I could remember. And at the end of it all, I prayed for him. He was saying amen, sounded blessed. I was so surprised, like, I thought this guy is a Muslim. So with that excitement, I went to my Twitter page and I was like, hey guys, I preached to my Uber driver today and this was what happened, and I just forgot about it. Only for me to wake up the following morning to like 17,000 likes and thousands of retweets, and I was surprised, like, what is going on? And a lot of people were saying, why did you do that? Some other people were saying, you did great and everything. And that was how it went viral. Like, it trended for days. So I just want to say this, that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, just make sure you are preaching the gospel of Christ, because it's a divine mandate. We all know that social media is a world on its own, and the scripture instructs us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So for me, it was my Uber driver. For you, it could be posting on your social media platform. It could be talking to that guy on your street, talking to that lady at your office. However you want to do it, just make sure you are pushing the gospel with your full chest. Thank you.
Our global soul winning exercise continues this week online to enable us reach the unsaved or unchurched within the cyberspace with the gospel. It will run from today, 25th April, to Saturday, 2nd of May. Please visit televisionng.org/etract to get conversation starters, to share on your social media feed, to tell people about Christ and invite them to church. Let's make Jesus famous together. We are organizing a special breakfast meeting for experience sharing, meet and greets, small group conversations, and prayers. This event is strictly for single parents, divorced or separated persons, widows or widowers. It promises to be exciting. This event will hold at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, 2nd of May at the Pistis Conference Center, Lekki. Please plan to attend and of course share with someone that you may know. We encourage you to learn the principles of evangelism and contribute your own quota to advancing the kingdom of God by attending the upcoming training on missional initiatives. The event will be facilitated by Capro International and will focus on developing a passion for soul winning and strategic ways to win souls. It holds in person at the Pistis Conference Center and online on Saturday at 9 a.m. Do register by the link now displayed on the screen. To join the new batches of our online workers in training course, TechEye, in May, please register using the link now displayed on the screen for the respective levels. Our online morning prayers continues this week from Monday to Saturday at 6 a.m. prompt. This holds on Zoom and MixLR. God is answering our prayers, filling us with amazing testimonies and changing lives daily. We indulge you to invite your friends and family to be a part of this experience. Don't forget, when your testimonies come, please share them with us as well. Log on to elevationng.org/resources and check out inspiring messages, beautiful gift items for special occasions, tech-branded merchandise, and amazing books by great authors. There are also soul-lifting messages on breaking addiction, improving mental health, new believers, and many more. All are available to download for free. To get these goodies, head on to elevationng.org/resources. Make vital connections that will propel you along the path of your divine destiny. All you have to do is join any of our small groups by visiting connectgroup.elevationng.org. Now that's not all. We also have an online community you can grow and thrive with. All you have to do is simply visit onlinechurch.elevationng.org. Subscribe, connect, get counsel, pray, and make friends. Please call any of the numbers now showing on the screen if you need counseling. You can simply send an email also to counseling@elevationng.org. Our midweek event Switch continues this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Please note that Switch will hold at the Pistis Conference Center in person and online on our various social media channels. Make sure to join us and invite all your friends and family to be a part of the experience. We are here for you if you need to reach us at any time during the week. Do send an email to info@elevationng.org or call us on 0700 ELEVATE. That's 0700-353-8283. To reach us on WhatsApp, simply send a message to the number now showing on the screen. That's it for our service today. Bye for now. God bless you. And we cannot wait to see you next week.
Hi there. Are you looking for a place to connect, to nurture, and be nurtured? A platform you can share your interests, faith, and to learn from others? Somewhere you can network and increase in influence, get some pastoral care, an avenue to hone and deploy your gifts? Then we've got it. All you need is to join a Connect group at the Elevation Church. Now here's how to sign up for one. Simply visit connectgroup.elevationng.org, click on the register button, impute your email address, name, and phone number, and submit. An activation page will open up. Type in the activation code you would have received by email and click Continue. Set your preferred password and click Continue. You'd get a successful registration message on the screen. You can now proceed to log in. Once logged in, you see drop-down boxes on the page. Select your preferred expression, interest, group, meeting day, and meeting type from each box, respectively. Click Apply Filter to see the groups relevant to your search. Select one that suits your interest or needs best and click Join, and that's it. There are groups for singles, couples, engaged couples, fashion, advocacy and governance, Bible study, travel, unique families, professional exam support groups, creative arts, investment, entertainment, gaming, fitness. I mean, the list is endless. This way, you can find your tribe and flourish with like minds whilst growing in your vocation and spiritual life. If you can't find your preferred group, simply email smallgroups@elevationng.org and we'll sort you out. Please note that you don't have to be a member of the Elevation Church to join a Connect group. Connect group meetings will hold virtually either on WhatsApp, Telegram, Zoom, or Microsoft Teams. We all need great support systems to prop one another up, cheer ourselves up, do great things, and achieve all that God has called us to do. So sign up now and invite your friends, colleagues, and family members. We can't wait to have you on board. Let's build stronger communities together.